Given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on The Paranormal View.
And welcome, everybody, right here to The Paranormal View on the ParaX Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for taking time to be with us tonight. Part where I'm at, it's kind of windy and stormy, and it's like the little wolves huffing and puffing till they blow the house down, sounds like sometimes. But we hope everybody is safe tonight and glad that you're here. And if you got questions tonight, you can take and private chat them to either myself, Henry Foister, or Stealing Cat. We will get those answered for you. And if you're listening from somewhere around the world and you'd like to come over and join us, it's at para-x.com and click on the chat now button and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. You just have to sign in and it doesn't cost anything to do that. So very simple to do. And if you do have questions and you don't want to come over, you can send it to theparanormalview@gmail.com, and we will get those answered. We have a great guest tonight, and we have with us Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
And we have Barbara Duncan.
Howdy, everybody.
And were you able to hear the intro?
Yes.
Right. Everything's working.
Yes.
It's only because of our special guest. That's why.
If you're breaking up.
Who is? Am I?
No, not to me, but.
Yeah, it's got to be Jeff then. So, if it sounds okay to me. So, with that, Jeff, why don't you see if you can introduce our guest? And it's not working.
I think he's gone.
He's gone.
What? Oh,
there he is.
Are you still here? You're breaking up.
Yeah, but you're twanging in and out. Oh, I'm breaking. Well, we're both breaking up to each other then.
That's you. Yeah. No, right. We're fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Do you want to try and
give it? I can give it a try. Right. Our guest tonight is Rick Hayes. He's a best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and what many define as a world-renowned psychic medium. He's been recognized as one of the top 25 psychic mediums in America in the 2014 published books, the top 100 psychics and astrologers in America, and numerous awards and recognitions for his contribution to the industry. Rick has appeared on numerous radio and television shows, including the Travel Channel, Chiller Channels, Sirius Satellite Radio, CBS Radio, and a previous excellent appearance on The Paranormal View. Rick's published books can be found on Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, and links to their Amazon pages will be on my report page of tonight's edition. So welcome back, Rick Hayes.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be back. I think I was sharing with Henry before I came on that I'm home base tonight. It's the first time I've been home in like 3 months on a weekend. So I enjoyed this. And I thought, what a great weekend. I mean, I can just be home, enjoy the weekend, and be on Paranormal View tonight. It's just a fantastic weekend.
Yeah. What'd you say, Barbara?
Well, I want to know first off, if psychics have a more interesting Halloween season than everybody else does.
Well, I'll tell you this, Barbara. When I was young, I got a lot of candy. I loved to dress up and trick or treat, and I just seemed to know which door to knock on. You know, which ones had the best candy. So I'm a kid at heart. I believe you should stay youthful in spirit. So, Halloween's coming right around the corner. I'm looking forward to it. And I even when it's not Halloween, I still got candy up in my cabinet. So we're good to go.
We all know about your M&M's, Dash Rick.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I just shared with you before we went on air that I've got a cabinet full up in the kitchen because everywhere I go, they kind of recognize me as the one that likes M&M. So I always am gifted with you know, at least a bag of M&Ms when I'm somewhere. So I appreciate that too. I love them.
Now we have to ask, do you branch out into the different M&Ms? Because there's almond and there's caramel and peanut butter M&Ms now.
I've tried the pretzels. I've tried them all. I'm sticking with the plains and the peanuts. That's where my favorites are. So I'm still waiting on the call from M&Ms. I would think after all that I've ate, they would have me as a sponsor or something, you know.
I'd even put a picture on one, huh?
Yeah, you know.
And apart from the plain and peanut, the only one I like is almond. I don't like the idea of the other horrors.
Yeah, it kind of takes it away, doesn't it, Jeff? It just kind of takes away the M&M brand or something. I don't know, but yeah. So yeah, we could. I could spend an hour talking about M&Ms.
Well, what color of M&Ms do you like the best?
Well, I don't give them a chance to really see what the colors are, actually, but they go pretty fast into my mouth. But I used to have a thing where I would tell everyone that, you know, I want M&Ms in my green room, but I don't want green M&Ms in my bowl. So, you know, I guess my favorite would be the red, the blue. That'd be my favorite, I guess.
All right.
Oddly enough, considering you're one of the top 100 psychics, last night here in California, one of our lotteries literally touched $1 billion. And did you think to play it?
What was that again, Jeff?
One of the California lotteries here last night literally touched $1 billion.
Wow.
And I keep wondering why psychics aren't constantly winning those.
Well, I get that question all the time, especially the first time. You know, the individuals ask me, they'll say, well, they'll say, I have a question for you. And I'll say, what is that? And they'll reply, they'll tell me, well, what's the lottery number for next week? Especially since it's hit near a billion. And I've been getting a lot of that this week. And I just share with them, if I knew the numbers of the lottery, who do you think would have them?
That's right.
So I of the three games I played, I actually got one number, the little Powerball in one of them. So
I will share a quick story, though. This happened, we was up in near Chicago a few weeks ago, and we was in a restaurant, and there, some of the individuals recognized me, and they came over, and one lady came over, and she wanted to say hi to me and you know, talk to me for a few minutes, which, you know, I enjoy, and it's not an interruption to my dinner or anything. So she said, I've got to go bowling, but I'll be back here in the morning. And she said, I said, well, I'll probably be here for breakfast. And she started to walk out the door, and I said, oh, by the way, you're going to bowl 156. And I just said it. And the next morning, I was in there, I was having breakfast in the same restaurant because the hotel's right across the street. And she came in, and she came right over to my table, and she says, you won't believe this. And I said, don't tell me you bowled 156. And she said, I bowled 156. So then her next question was, do you know the lottery numbers? I said, no, I don't know the lottery numbers. So,
it seems like nobody can ever predict those. It's the same way, Jeff. It's top 1.6 billion now. Wow. That's the whatever it is. Yeah.
Did anyone win it?
No.
No.
Oh, my. Oh, God, Gray, I have to play it again. Yeah.
He had the number, the Powerball number, whatever it was.
Yeah, I had the seven. $5 or something.
So, but anyway, we was talking before we went on the air, and you at one time had a show here on Parx called Reflections with Rick Hayes. Mm-hmm. And we was talking about it, but I already had the question down so the people here would be able to know. And it was, have you thought about doing radio again? And you told us before we started on the show.
Well, I knew he was going to ask me that, Henry. No, I'm kidding. you know, I loved doing the show. We did it, I believe, for 6 years. And, you know, we was, I think it was at the beginning stages of Para-X, when they, at the birth of Para-X actually, and just I enjoyed it. And as we talked, as we shared before we came on air, that if to do a good quality show, it takes time. It takes time before you even get on air and get everything prepared. And that's one of the things I strive to do when I was on air, is to give the very best I could. And so we would spend, you know, a couple of days before airtime just to get everything prepared, what the sheets that we was going to, the format and how we was going, what was the topics and things like that. And we never did, we never had maybe just maybe a handful of special guests on the show that I had, but I loved it. I miss it. Can I say that I won't be back? I can't say that, because, you know, if a door opens, it always opens for a reason. I'll just leave it as right now, because of the schedule that that was one of the reasons why we went off air. The reason why we went off air actually was because of the time go into creating a good quality show. I just didn't have the time for that and that I wanted. So we chose at that time at the end of 6 years to close the show, but we left it open for if things change, then definitely I'll be back on. I love being on the Para-X network. I really enjoyed it on there. So who knows? You know, I might be back, but right now, because of my travel and my schedule, it's just very hard for me to give a good quality show that, you know, like to, well, if I was on your network to compete with yours, which would be hard to compete because you got a good quality show there.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you're doing a lot of traveling, Rick. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of investigations, or is it gallery readings, or
It's everything. It's everything. It's we just got back from, was in Tampa last weekend. In fact, we flew out on up, I'm from the Midwest. We flew out. It was maybe 50, 55 degrees. Got down there. We was down there all Friday through Monday. We flew back Monday night. When we left Tampa late afternoon, it was still like 90, 91 degrees. And we landed back home, and when I got off the plane, it was 44. Talk about a change. Wow. So, I mean, I almost go back on the plane and said, let's head back to Tampa. But yeah, we travel for that particular travel, it was for a private group, what I call connections or a session. Many call them readings. I was invited to come down there for a group, and I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. But we also travel for travel for a lot of events. We're going to be in Shelbyville, Kentucky next weekend for I think it's a Festival of Healing and Spiritual Awareness event in Shelbyville. We'll be there next weekend. And then we also do our own. We also have what we call the Connections Weekends, where we will have an investigation, you know, for example, investigation on Friday night, a workshop on Saturday morning, and then a gallery, what we call Connections Gallery, Saturday night, make a full weekend out of it. We travel around with that as well. We've been in many different places this year doing those as well. So it's a combination of everything. I even went to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm now on a mobile app, and I went down there to do some taping in Atlanta, and that was to put together a video series for the mobile app. So. I just travel and enjoy it, and I'm one of those that doesn't like to travel. I don't like traveling to get there. You know, I'm one of those that's still waiting on the Star Trek machine to beam you there. but I do love to visit all the locations we've been to in different places and meeting incredible people. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy my life.
Now, are you actually mentoring people, or is this more reading styles? You never talk about having students per se.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't consider them students. We're all students in life. We're all learning, so they're learning from me, and I'm learning from them. But I do. The workshops I mentioned is the life coaching workshop. We have a 4-hour workshop now that focuses on what me in the industry, in the life coaching industry, calls elements or elements of life. And so we have 4-hour workshop for that. I also do private life coaching as well for individuals, and been doing a lot of those, especially in the last year and a half, 2 years. And then I also have another service which I'm very excited to share, because it's what we call an advisement consultation. And what it is, it's those, especially the young adults, especially those maybe, I don't want to put an age limit on it, because I just had one just a few weeks ago with a 55-year-old retired cop, so a policeman. So, but what these are is they are consultations for those who are acknowledging their own abilities and have the psychic abilities or mediumship abilities or empath abilities, and they're maybe a little scared or maybe a little frightened, or they may not know exactly what to do with them and in their life. And so we work together and find where their ability is, and then the key here is to elevate their confidence and to lower the fear so they feel more comfortable with everything. So that is more of a, I guess you would call it, mentorship as well. So that's another service that I enjoy doing as well.
Now, what exactly does a life coach do?
We coach life.
Now, that's not fair.
No, I'll share with you how I got into life coaching. And I've always said this: when a door opens in your life, it's for you to walk through. It's not for you to stand there and say, why did that door open? It's a door of opportunity. It's a door of guidance. And so it's around 18 years now. I've been out in the public with my psychic and medium abilities. And for several years, I started recognizing those individuals who were in what I call sessions with connecting with their loved ones around them and validations and messages. But when we got finished, many would say, well, Rick, you told me about the next part of life and you gave me the validations. My loved ones are with me. But what about my life here? What about my marriage? What about my career? The biggest question I get is, what is my purpose in life? And so I felt that as a door opening. And so about 5 years ago, I started studying with the top life coaches in the life coaching industry and started learning from them. And then from that, I started developing my own life coaching program. So the last couple of years has been phenomenal. I've got I love sharing one individual that she was an executive in the medical industry for 17 years, and they downsized, and she basically, right when she was starting the program, they let her go, and so she didn't know what to do. And so I asked her, I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your career? What do you want to do in your purpose? And she said, I want to go to Abu Dhabi. And when she said that, I thought, is that a pizza place or what? I didn't know what an Abu Dhabi was. And so I said, okay. I said, can you elaborate more what it is? And she said, it's in the Middle East. She said, I want to take my medical career, and I've always wanted to go over there and take my medical experience and expertise and go over there and help. And I said, okay, let's put it out there that you're going to go to Abu Dhabi and do that. And she said, but you don't understand, Rick, there's a lot of red tape. It's government red tape. It's very hard to even get accepted to go over there. And I said, let's put it out there. And that was in March. And so we started working on some other tools. And in August, she contacted me and she said, I am just excited to share with you that I submitted my resume and I've been accepted and I'm leaving for Abu Dhabi next month.
Wow.
And she has now been over there I just spoke with her a couple weeks ago. She's been over there a little over a year and a half now, and just really loving the experience and loving all that's happening. And she's living her purpose path, and it's incredible. I mean, just to watch these individuals who are, And that's exactly what it is, Barb. It's coaching. It is giving you tools and elevating your confidence and getting you to believe in yourself and removing some of the fears and the obstacles that keep you from going forward and start manifesting, creating some amazing things in your life. And so that's what's you know, and it's an inspiration for me. It's just been another addition in my path that has brought me a lot of inspiration just watching individuals change their lives.
Wow.
Now, when did you recognize that you had the gifts of a psychic medium?
Last week. No, I'm kidding. Henry, how long have you not known each other? We've known each other for several years, right?
I started 2008 on Para-X in November. Matter of fact, next month, my 10th
wow.
year.
Congratulations. By the way, if you're going to do an anniversary show, I'd like to come in and just say congratulations to y'all.
We are going to do one. Yep, we're going to do one.
All right, well, I'll just give me 2 minutes, and I'm going to come in and do a shout-out and congratulations to you. But no, I I've shared this that we are all born with many gifts and abilities and skills, and we should apply those in our life because they're given to us for a reason. And so I also feel like we're all born with these abilities, what we define as a mediumship ability. We all have the ability to know that our loved ones are around us in the next part of life that are here around with us. I know that I was born with them, but my memory can only take me back to around the age of 6. I remember an experience around of age maybe 5, 6. And I had an experience then that shared with me that I was able to see and hear and feel those in the next part of life. And so, but I kept them to myself. I didn't want everybody to think I was weird. My family knew, but we just didn't talk about it. And so kept them to myself all through my life until 18 years ago, actually. And 18 years ago, I had an experience in my life that shared with me that I was basically the individuals told me you're being selfish because you've got something, you should be sharing it with others. And I never looked at it that way. And so whenever she said that, it hit me like of an iron skillet in the back of the head. And I said, something's telling me to go forward with this. So the last 18 years, it's been a phenomenal life. And, I've been, and what I share about any abilities and skills and talents you have, you should share it with others. It actually brings something to you as an individual, you personally, and it brings a lot of more inspiration in your life. And that's what I've been getting for the last 18 years with the validations not just talking with, and this may sound kind of strange, but I've not just learned and just talking with the clients or the friends and the individuals I share the messages with, but I've learned a lot from those in the next part of life and what's the value here and things like that. So, and it's always incredible to me every time we get a validation. It's just, it's like, wow, so. And we get a lot of them.
Now, Tina Marie's in the chat room. She said to tell you hi.
Hi, Tina Marie.
She said she's doing a jacket for you.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to get it. It is. Yeah, she's I actually met her at the Mid-South, and she had a jacket there. And then we started talking a little bit. And I said, you got to make me one. And so she's making me a special jacket. I'm looking forward to it. She's working on it now. Should have it soon, and I'm looking forward to it. She's got talk about skills and talents and gifts. She's look at some of the things she does and some of her custom attire that she makes because it's incredible. And I'm going to get mine. Actually, Chris Booth has gotten his already. And so I'm going to make sure mine doesn't look like his. Chris is my brother. We just think a lot of each other. We love each other. Tina Marie had told me he was actually at a show she was at, and she had a jacket there, and he fell in love with it. And it's very close to what I'm getting. But I've already told her, I said, well, we need to change this and change this because I want to be, I want to outdo Chris. So,
yeah. I seen you just, about 2 months ago down at, Mid-South.
Yes. And you know what? I had a great time there. That was my, I believe, Keith said, that's my 12th or 13th year at the show. And we had just a great time. Well, you know you're going to have a great time when right next to you is the Mountain Men, the Mountain Monsters, and across from them is the Bama Boys. So you know that little area right there is crazy.
Larry, yep.
But it was for the first time, because every year I'd been there, I'd done individual readings or individual connections, and I always did 20 minutes, and I never had a chance the weekend I was there to just see everyone, because I was always in a different location, different place there in the building doing readings, or in the behind the booth doing readings, and never really did get a chance to say. So this year I told my team, I said, you know what, I'm not going to do readings this year. I want to just have fun. I want to say hi to everyone that comes around. Of course, you know, you have those individuals that came up to the art booth, and you know, and then when I start feeling there's someone there and someone wanting to tell me to tell them the individual something, I don't stop that. So I was doing readings while I was there, but had a great time. And then you came around. Did we meet in the hallway? Because it seems like we always meet in the hallway.
I probably did. Yeah. I stood over at your booth and talked for I don't know how long.
I remember that later, but I know at the we was in Cincinnati. I think I saw you in the hallway. We was in somewhere else that I saw you in the hallway. It's like we passed each other. We stopped and said, "Henry," you know. So, but yeah, I had a great time there. And those guys, the Mountain Monsters and the Bama Boys, they're just great guys. And we just had a lot of fun with them. We still laugh about all the craziness that went on there. It's just a lot of fun.
It is. That's why I like to go to them. Around talking with the people and friends that I know that I don't get to see a lot. So that's what's fun about it. I know I've been with you at Waverly Hills. I've been with you at Post Town. And I know you've been to many more places than just those. In your opinion, which place that you have been to seems to be the most haunted or most active?
Wow. There are so many, actually. I really can't pinpoint one in particular. You know, I can give you a few. Moundsville Prison in Ohio, that is an active place for me. I don't know if when we was there last time, we was actually walking through. We got like a private tour. And so they took us through, and we was in this one main area, and I think it was a cafeteria or something. But I remember we started to walk through there, and I got poked in my back, my lower back. And as soon as I felt that poke, I heard, "How's that feel?" And so I wasn't paying much attention to it. And we took a few more steps, and the individual was telling us about the place. And all of a sudden I got poked again, and it said, "How'd that feel?" And I turned around. There was this individual in spear standing there. I saw him in full body, and he was a shorter guy. And he looked at me and he says, "How's that feel?" And I said, and I looked at him and I said, "Okay, I know you're here. You don't need to poke me no more. So thank you." And I could tell he was was in prison there, because the way that he showed me. And about the time I said thank you, the individual was walking us through. He said, this area right here, he said you had to be very careful because there was a blind spot in this area. And he said there was a lot of individuals that got shanked in this area. Right away when I got that, I thought this individual was trying to tell me he either was shanked there or he had shanked someone there. So it gave me the validation there. So, but that place, there's a place in Tennessee that was always very active for me. I don't know if it's still open. It's the South Pittsburgh Hospital. Waverly is always incredible when I go there. I've been on some ships, and they've been fun to be on. I've been in hotels. Just a few weeks ago, we went back to a place that kind of became a place in my heart. And that is the Roth House in Watseek, Illinois, where we did the film The Possessed. And we got to go back there a few weeks ago, and we did an investigation there that night. And it's always incredible there for me as well. So there's just a lot of places. I really can't, Henry, I really can't pinpoint just one, because, you know, I've been to so many in the last 16, 17 year, 18 years, and everyone that I go to, you know, and people have asked me, they've asked if I have been in a place that I've had to deal with anything negative. And not really, because I refuse to. I just choose not to. But there's been places where it's been active, mischievous. You've mentioned the Waverly. Were you there? Yeah, you were there when Para-X did a thing there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the time that I remember that, you know, we had some really great validations there and just had a lot of fun there. And those in spirit was giving us all kinds of different validations. So I haven't been there in a few years. I'm hoping to get back there. I was kind of wanting to go back there this year, but I think Tina and Charlie's made it a little more, well, they're so busy there, it's getting harder to actually get in there, actually. So, but we're hoping to get in there next year.
Since Dave's no longer affiliated with Para-X, we haven't had anything set up for them to go there. Now, we did have a thing over at Fort Mifflin. Rebecca and them set up Horror at the Fort, and that was just in October. And this is the second year that they had it. I went the year before last, and it's pretty interesting. It's they had it all set up and tours and everything. It's pretty active there. Have you been to Fort Mifflin?
I have been there, and you are right. It's an active place. I've been to that fort, and there's one in Georgia that I've been to, Savannah. I think around Savannah, Georgia. I can't think of the other fort I've been to, but Fort Mifflin is yeah. It was funny in that area, because in one area I was in, it was complete nothing. And I can't remember exactly, it's been a few years, but I can't remember exactly where it was at, but it's one area, it's like there was absolutely nothing. And I walked literally just literally across, and then all of a sudden it started, things started happening, and I started connecting. It's like, well, what's wrong with the other side? You know, so I didn't quite figure that out.
Well, I've spent too much time talking here. I know Barbara's got a ton of stuff, and Jeff's probably got some stuff. So I'll let you guys talk a bit.
Well, have you been to the West Coast? Because we have, like, the Queen Mary and such like that.
I have not been to the Queen Mary, Jeff, but I'm wanting to really, really bad. And I'm hoping to somehow get an opportunity to. I'm actually going to Hawaii in February. And I thought we was going to maybe fly into California and then from there to Hawaii, but now we're flying out of, I think, Houston or Dallas. Oh, wow. Excuse me, Dallas. So we're going to miss again. But I'd love to go to Queen Mary. The Winchester House is another place I'd like to check out. There's several places. I think there's a Spanish fort or something there as well.
We've got a lot of haunted stuff out here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because up near Barbara, apart from the Winchester House, you've also got the USS Hornet.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd love.
If you ever come out to LA, let me know.
Will do. I've been there. I've been to the airport. I'll tell you that. That's as far as I got in LA. But
that only seems. That's more just The Walking Dead than haunting. So.
Yeah, LA. But I would love to come to California. So if anyone listening, if you got an event out there or something going on, contact us, because I'd love to come out there. And I mentioned Hawaii. I wanted to share this with you. We're going to, and I talk about this in life coaching. If you put out there, I'm one of those that believes if you put out there, you put the energy out there by talking and speaking out there with Jeff. We're going to put out there that you're going to win some of the lottery tonight, this weekend. So how's that? We just put it out there.
Well, I've been doing that for months, even before before it reached. I was in there like, when it's at like 100 million, I'm like, yeah, wait till it's like it at 400 million. And that's when I start thinking, and then I realized that this was the wrong, there are like three different lotteries. And I'm used to the one that's like on certain days of the week. And then I realized, oh, this is a different day of the week. This isn't the Wednesday and whatever the other day is. And then all of a sudden it jumps up to like 700. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to play that. And I took one of the little things to fill out, and then I got busy, and all of a sudden it's up to 800 million, and I'm thinking, I really need to start playing this. And then finally they were talking, I saw it was hitting 900 million, and I said, yeah, I'm playing that, and as did a lot of my friends, and so, yeah.
Well, the difference here now is I'm putting it out there for you as well. So we're gonna put a double dose on it. So all I'm gonna say is if you win a billion, I hope I get at least a million of it.
You will get definitely a million if I get 100, you know.
Okay.
Because I'll cash out and it'll probably only get about 600 million, but I could probably live on that.
But what I was going to share was I actually had I had a client on the telephone, and I believe she was from Wisconsin, and we started I started visiting with what I call visiting, connecting with one of her loved ones, and I told her, I said, he keeps saying Pearl Harbor, he keeps saying Pearl Harbor. And she said, well, let me tell you why. I said, that's my grandfather. And he was one of the individuals that was on the USS Arizona.
Really?
And he's trapped in the USS Arizona. And I said, wow. And I said, you know what? I said, I've never been to Hawaii. I told her that. I said, if I ever go to Hawaii, I will make a commitment that I will go to Pearl Harbor, and I will see if I can get any visits, any connections. Because she actually shared with me, she said, do you know what level he's trapped on? I said, he's telling me fourth. And she said, well, we were told that he may have been end up on the fifth level, in the lower fifth level. And I said, no, he told me he got up to the fourth. So I told her, I said, if I ever go out there, I commit to you that I will make a trip to Pearl Harbor. Well, it was like just a few weeks later. And I have a group of friends and they were putting together a trip to Hawaii, and they asked me if I wanted to go with as well. And I said, absolutely. And I thought, talk about a door opening. So we're going to go in February, and I made a commitment that I'm going to go to Pearl Harbor and see if I can for my friend, and see if I can do any connections or getting feedback from the Arizona while I'm standing there. So again, when you put things out there, this was a good example. Just a few weeks later, I was invited to go to Hawaii with this group. So it's like, wow, that's incredible. So, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Wow. I think what we're going to do is take just a real quick break. I'm only going to do one or two little quick things. But I want to let everybody know that we got Rick Hayes on, and most everybody knows him. But if you do have a question for him, you can private chat to either Henry Foister or Ceiling Cat, and we will get those answered for you. And if you're not here with us and you got a question, you can send it to theparanormalview@gmail.com. And Barbara's watching that, so we'll be able to get something there. So just a quick little one, because we got a lot to talk about with Rick. And I'm going to let Jeff take us out real quick.
Yep. Well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Ceiling Cat, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with our returning guest author and psychic medium, Rick Hayes. So stay tuned for more of The Paranormal View after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Starting August 9th, it's Double the Cauldron, Double the Fun, as Pararex brings you back-to-back hours of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. First, at 8 p.m., Pararex turns into the vault to bring you an encore edition of Stirring the Cauldron. That's 10 years worth of amazing guests, interesting subjects, and all the fun from your favorite show. Then at 9 p.m., Pararex presents an all-new hour of Stirring the Cauldron, as Marla explores the paranormal realm with brand new topics and all new guests. It's Double the Cauldron, Double the Fun, as Pararex presents back-to-back hours of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. And it all begins 8 p.m. Thursday, August 9th, right here on the Pararex Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Pararex part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Pararex.
And welcome back, everybody, right here to the Paranormal View on the Pararex Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight, those in the chat room and those listening from around the world. Appreciate each and every one of you. Tonight we have with us, and I want to welcome him back, but before that, we have with us Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
And we got Barbara Duncan. And I almost said Marla Brooks.
Oh, it is almost Halloween.
Yeah. but we got special guest tonight, Rick Hayes, with us. I want to welcome Rick back.
Hello. I had to laugh a little bit when you Marla is a good friend, and if you had Marla there, as long as you had Barb there, we're all right. So as long as Ceiling Cat's there and Marla's there, we're okay.
Well, Marla's not here. More than likely, she's over listening to Rock with the Shock. They might come back in somewhere after 9 o'clock. They might drop over. So anyway, I know Barbara, she's got probably a ton of questions, but before we do that though, where do we have listeners at tonight?
They're coming in from the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia, and unknown.
That unknown gets us every time. Rick might be able to.
I have been there actually.
You've been pretty busy. When you're out, or even I guess if you're just even sitting around home, are you bombarded all the time with the spirits wanting to talk to you?
Well, yes and no. I mean, they're always around us, but at the same time, they, for example, me, they respect and they're respectful. They understand that I have to, for me to learn life here, I have to live life, and so they're not bothering me all the time. But you know, I can go in different places, and here at home, it's always started by it's fun being here with me at home because there's always something going on. I'll tell you a funny real quick, and we're all friends, even those listening to me tonight as friends, but I had an experience just this afternoon. I had the roll of toilet paper sitting on top of the commode, and I didn't take time to put it on the where it should be going. And I've got a couple that's here that is been here as long as I've been here. And when I went upstairs and looked, it's a brand new roll of toilet paper was in the commode. She had moved it, as she had just told me that I need to, if I wasn't going to put it where it should be, then just, well, throw it in the toilet. So,
even in the spirit world, you have to put the toilet lid down.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And it's funny. It's funny, Barb, because I do, and for that particular moment, I didn't. And it's like she was acknowledging to me that this is what happens if you don't put the seat down, you know, or something like that. So, but we had actually give you an example of just being out. When we were in Tampa last weekend, I actually wrote this on my, about this on Facebook. We were actually early to the group session I was having. So I have an issue with going by ice cream places and not stopping. And so there was this place, it was an ice cream place, and it was actually shaped like an ice cream cone. And so I told Rick and Joni, I said, you know, boy, the ice cream looks good. We got time. So we went back there. We turned around, went back there, and we went up to the counter, and I started talking to this young lady on the other side of the counter. She was probably 19, I think she said, and we started talking, and she started asking me what I did. You know, we started talking about the things I do and being a psychic medium, and I started getting a message from her, and I looked at her, and I said, I've got a grandfather here that's telling me to tell you, you've got way too many shoes in your closet. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, I don't, he does. And I said, in fact, he's telling me about a white pair of shoes with the blue laces. And she said, yes, I have those. So I started just sharing a couple messages there. Our grandfather's right there with us. And so he was giving us some other validation. So I gave her my card and I said, you know, Facebook friend me. And she looked down at it and she goes, and she didn't say anything. She said, okay. Well, we went out on the picnic table there and started having an ice cream. Well, here she comes out the back door of the ice cream place, and she's got her phone in her hand, and she's talking. She said, I'm talking to my mom. She said, your last name's Hayes? And I said, yes. And she said, that grandfather you're talking to is my mom's dad? That's his last name. His last name's Hayes. And I said, you're kidding me. And she said, no. And she said, in fact, she said, is your name Rick? And I said, yeah. And said, his name was Richard Hayes. And I said, I'm here other than just for an ice cream. I was told to be here for a reason, to share this with you. So yeah, even when I'm getting ice cream, there's sometimes I have individuals that will, in spirit, that will, you know, talk to me. So, but at the same time, they do understand and they do respect that I've got to, you know, I've got to have a regular life too. So they allow that, but they're around us. It's just been with me all my life, and it's just a part of it. So.
Now, people think spirits are bound by something keeping them in certain locations, such as Waverly Hills or whatever. Or can they go wherever they want to?
Well, and I always share that, you know, everyone, what their thoughts are, that's okay. It's great that we all have different thoughts, because that's how we learn. If we all thought the same thing and believed the same thing, we would never learn. So it's great that we think differently. But for me, I just don't feel like they're trapped. I know they're not trapped. You know, being bound or being trapped in a location, I think it has more to do with choice. We have one of the gifts we're given here in life is the gift of choice. We get to choose how we live our life, how we want our life to be, what we believe and not believe. And I also feel that when we go into the next part of life, we still do not lose that gift of choice. We still have choices. And one of those would be, they can be wherever they want to be whenever they want to be. And so every time I'm asked this question, Henry, I always think of my buddy Jason, Jason Halls. And he, I remember one time we were, you know, I stated something to him about that I had saw on his show, that they were watching this shadow go across the hallway and go through a wall. And later on in that show, he said, these spirits here are trapped in this location. And my response to that was, if they can go through walls, how can they be trapped? You know, so, but I don't feel like they're trapped. I feel like a lot of times, especially the historical locations, when we go into those locations, they know why we're there. They know that we're there to learn and to learn about the place. And so who better to guide you than those who have experienced and had the memories there? So they're going to be there and they're going to help you. I also feel like they choose to be there because they may have some good memories and experiences there. I've been to many residences who have had activity going on in their older homes, you know, built in 1800s, 1900s, 1950s, and they have activity going on, and they are automatically thinking it's haunted. And it's really not. It's those individuals who lived there at one time, had experiences there, memories there, and may have built the place. And they have a lot of good thoughts about it. And so they choose to be there, and they want to make sure sometimes they're there to help you to enjoy it as much as they did. Sometimes they're there to say, no, you shouldn't paint that room that way, you know. So, but they have a choice to be there. I don't feel like they can be trapped. I know some of my buddies on some of the shows, they have these boxes that they say they can trap the spirit in and everything. It's like, you're not going to trap a spirit. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to trap a spirit. So
I don't know where they actually come up with that from.
Well, it's like more power to them, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you watch the shows, and they'll say, and every one of them that has shows right now on television, they know me and I know them, and they're friends of mine, and I consider them friends. But whenever you say you just saw a shadow go through a wall, and then later on you say, well, they're trapped in this place. It's like, if they can go through walls, how can they be trapped? So, you know, and then some individuals feel that they're trapped there because they're being punished in some way. You know, the only punishment you're going to have is the punishment you create here in this life. That's where you get the punishment.
Yeah, I don't think that spirits are trapped in one location. I think once you become a spirit, you're free of the body. You can pretty much go wherever you want to go.
Well, and you mentioned a really great place to talk about that, and that's the Waverly Hills. I mean, every time there's so much activity there, and individuals say, why would they be in a place like this that's dilapidated, and, you know, they've cleaned it up a lot, but it's dilapidated, and why would they be there? Well, you know, when we go there, we're going there to learn about the place. We're going there to see if we get any individual in spirit to share with us what it was like there. And that's a lot of history there. And so we don't know what it was like to be there during that time, but those who were there do. So they would be there because we're there to learn about it. Do I feel like they're trapped at the Waverly? I do not. I just feel like they're there because, you know, there's a lot of individuals that had transcended from that location. And so they want to remain, they want to be there. And I want to use the word visit here because I don't feel like they're permanently there. They're just there whenever we're there to learn. It's not any form of punishment.
Well, speaking of Waverly, spirits are there. To me, I feel that they can come and go as they want.
Yeah.
But do you feel that when a spirit is in an old dilapidated location such as Waverly Hills, that the spirit sees the things as they were when they were alive and they don't see it as being dilapidated?
Well, I think they have two visions. I feel they have the vision of memory. They have the vision of seeing it as it was when they were there. I also feel that they also can see how it is now. You know, when you go, I'll give you an example. There's many, many historical, Waverly's one of them. When I go to the place like a Waverly, it's almost like my visual changes. It's, and I'm not talking about the physical visual, the spiritual visual changes, where I can see how it was when they were there. And I can see how the hallways were, the corridors were, the rooms were. And I feel like they show me that because that's a memory of the past, and they want me to understand how it was at that time. I feel like it's the same. I feel like if you, you know, for example, if you lived in a home for many years and you moved from that home and you moved, let's say from the East Coast to the West Coast, and you were gone, grew up in that home and you were gone for many years and you came back to visit, it's not going to be exactly how that it was when you lived there, most probably. But you'll still have the vision of how it was. If you walk into like your bedroom, where it was your bedroom when you was a kid, you could almost vision how it used to be, and you could actually see where your toys were and your bed was. And I feel like it's the same way in those in spirit. I feel like they can see, they can visual how it is to the, in their vision, but they can also see the how it is today.
Okay, Barbara.
Well, I'm listening to this conversation thinking, what do you think about spirits that were mentally challenged or had issues in that fashion? Do they get healed on the other side? Is there a clarity that happens with death?
Absolutely, and it's great, Barb. I mean, I've had those individuals who have, that are in spirit have actually shared with their loved ones, and when I do a consultation, what I call a consultation or a session, I don't begin my consultations or sessions by asking the individual, what questions do you have? Or who do you want me to contact? I know some in this industry does. I don't. I feel like our loved ones around us, they're going to know why we're visiting. They know why more than we do, why they're here at that time. So I let them come to visit with us. And I've had those individuals that have shared with us that they've had some challenges, physical, mental, emotional challenges in their life, in the physical body. They are now free of that. And it makes perfect sense to me, because everything, the challenges, the mental challenges, the physical challenges, the emotional challenges, is all part of the physical body. And when we transcend, what I call transcend, because I don't use the word death or dead, when we transcend into the next part of life, we leave the physical body. We leave the challenges we had in that physical body. And so we become pure. We become clear. We get a lot of clarity. We get a lot, and we become whole. And I've had those individuals share with me. I had one just this week that this individual in spirit, he kept walking in and walking back and walking in and walking back. And finally, I told the client, I said, I think he's walking back and forth. I got a guy here, a male here, and he's walking back and forth. And I think the reason is not that he's getting tired of and waiting on me. He's getting more of, he's wanting to show you that he's able to walk again. And she shared with me that before he transcended, he was totally immobile. He was not able to walk. Something happened to his hip and his legs, and he wasn't able to walk. So he wanted to show that he wasn't in that body anymore.
Surprised he wasn't dancing.
I think he could have done a really good jig the way he was walking back and forth, actually. So
that's great. Yeah, well, Barbara. Digesting what the man is saying here, because I think it's absolutely fascinating. Do you think that spirits, I don't want to say try to meddle or try to interfere, but do you ever get them mm-hmm. where they're going, tell them this, they got to do this. I told them to do that when I was alive. Mm-hmm. I'm telling them now, do they get yeah. that insistent? And is it sort of like they take on the personalities and the watcher roles sort of?
Oh, well, first of all, I've had many. I just wrote about this this week on my other Facebook page about how, first of all, no one in spirit is going into the Rick Hayes' body. They do not. I don't do that channeling part. I don't do that where they come in my body. It's my body, so you can just stay out of it, I do, because of how they relate to me. I've been told many, many times that I either sound like the individual, or I will do mannerisms like the individual, or even the personality of the individual as they were here in their physical body. And again, I immediately share with them. I said, well, it's just because how they're relaying to me. They're not in my body. It's just how they're relaying to me. I have had many times, Barb, where I've had those who'll, shake their finger and say, you tell them they need to do this. You tell them I said this. And it's not in a firm, angry way. It's more of a guiding but firm way they share it. But every time I get that as well, I always share with the individual. I said, keep in mind, you have the gift of choice. So whatever I'm sharing with you through them, doesn't mean that's what you have to do. You still have the choice here on here in your life to choose what you want to do and how you want to do it and when you want to do it. So it's up to them. But I've had those that were just, you know, I always like to share the story of my own grandmother. I was probably a year and a half into out in the public with these abilities, and I came home one day and I literally just put my legs down in the living room, and I was kind of tired, and I was really debating whether I wanted to start going into the speaking circuit or not, and I was going back and forth with it. And next morning, and I don't mind sharing this on air, but next morning I was taking a shower, and all of a sudden I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and there was my grandmother. and the first thing I said was, I said, "Grandma, I'm in the shower." And her exact words to me was, "I powdered your butt when you was a baby." And it's like, and I said, "Well, could you wait till I get out of the shower?" But she immediately started sharing with me that I was ready, that I need to quit being afraid, that I was ready to speak, and I should get out there and start talking. And she said, "You was a talker all your life, so why stop now?" And she was telling me all this while I was in the shower. And so from that, I said, "Well, you know what? I feel like my grandmother's right." And that's when I started started speaking in different areas. And that's because of grandmother's push. But she was really firm with it.
And did you get back to powdering your butt more often?
Well, I actually told her, I said, "I can't believe," I said, "couldn't you talk to me any other time?" She just gave me this, I actually saw her and stand, you know, there. And it's like, she gave me this look like I knew, just be quiet and listen to me.
Yeah. I remember there was a great EVP I once heard where the ghost that was in communication points out that time is different here, meaning the other side. So for her, now is always now. Yeah. So the fact you were in the shower is inconsequential.
Right.
And she didn't have to worry about getting wet.
Right. And that's right. And that's a great statement just said, Jeff, because that's exactly right. Individuals ask me, there's some in this industry that will share with individuals, "Well, when someone transits or when someone passes, you have to wait a certain amount of time before you can make contact with them." I always respond with the answer of, why would you be put in a waiting room or a holding tank to be with your loved ones? I mean, it's in the blink of an eye, it's in a flicker. And the moment you transcend, you're with your loved ones. And so why would you be put in a waiting tank or a holding tank? And time is really not measured. It is measured here because our body ages, our schedule is based on time, our life is based on time, based on what man has created as time. But when time is a continual thing, I call the next part of life a life continual for a reason, because life is a continual. It is not, there's really no time. And when you're there, it's not the same as time here.
I like the meme I occasionally share on Twitter when it relates, is that time doesn't exist, clocks exist.
Exactly. You don't mind if I share that, do you?
I share that a lot, yeah. I just think it's both amusing and probably quite accurate. Because all reality is perception.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, somebody has their speaker on.
Not me. Is that Jeff?
No, I'm just sitting here. I'm on my headset, so I don't have any speakers.
What about ghosts from different time periods? And do they perceive it? Can they see each other? I mean, is time really isn't that linear, as we know? It's kind of all stacked together. But I often wonder how interaction on the other side takes place.
Well, that is one of those questions I really feel that our mind really cannot comprehend. You know, it's just like, what is it like over there? I've had many ask me, have they shared with you what is it like over there? You know, I grew up in growing up in a church atmosphere. It was called heaven, and what is it like in heaven? And I've had little moments of maybe few minor little definitions, but I've never had it and been given it because I really feel like our mind doesn't comprehend that. I think it's the same thing with does someone that lived during the biblical times be interacting with someone that had just transcended just a few weeks ago? I feel like, again, it's all one. So I feel like that, yes, I do feel like that's a possibility. For me personally, I have, people have asked me if I ever seen these famous people. I always share that I only see them why would they come to me if they didn't know me here? And the only way that I have any the only way I have really any connection with them if I go to maybe a place they live or if I'm with their family. For example, when I was in Springfield, Illinois years ago, I was at the home of Abraham Lincoln, and we came up to the second floor and we walked up the second floor and when we came around, we was actually being guided on tour. When we came around, I saw this tall gentleman standing right next to this desk, and the desk was there. And I knew right away who it was. And in fact, I went, that's Abraham Lincoln. And he was just standing there. He was just watching everybody walk through. And he's almost like he was very proud of that. And as we came around the corner, then the tour guide told us that the desk standing is there. It was one of Abe Lincoln's original personal desks. And I thought, well, he's also guarding his desk, I guess, as well. So, but he was there in my time period. So this would give me, to me, it would say, well, those from past times has an opportunity to be to be a part of this time because, again, it's all one. Just like, just like Jeff shared, time is a continual time. It's not clocks. It's not time. It's just a continual thing. So, I do feel like we can interact with others, there that may be from the past. Which leads into the past lives, talk about the past lives, which I think is fascinating as well.
You also touched on something really interesting to me, and that is people going back to objects, Lincoln with the desk. There's this theory out there of attachments to physical objects, whether it be a mirror or a ring or something along those lines. Do you think that it's an actual intelligent attachment, or is it more like a residual the object remembers rather than the person being there?
Well, first of all, if there's an object out there that has an attachment to it, it's in John Zappas's house. my buddy John, he has it all.
Yes,
I think. Well, I've been asked that because there are thoughts in this field that feels that if a part of you, a part of your soul, a part of you becomes a part of whatever was attached to you, and for example, a ring or a personal piece of property or, but I don't believe that. I just don't believe our soul can be taken away in chunks and placed on others. I think it has more to do with the individual and the connection with the item itself. For example, I have this ring that I've wore most of my life. And whenever I transcend, it will probably be passed on to someone. It's very special to me. And so if whoever has that ring after I transcend, why would I not be around whenever they're wearing it? Why would I not be near there and say, hey, that was a special ring you wear it with, you feel special too. And so I don't feel like we're attached to it. I just feel like we're there because of it. The spirit is there because you have that item.
I was going to say, there's also the probability that it's not so much an attachment, but that whoever has transitioned remembers the importance of a certain item. For instance, I take it you've seen the Nick Cage film City of Angels?
Yes.
One of my favorite lines in that was Dennis, what's his name from NYPD Blue? Dennis Franz, yeah. Where he reminds Nick Cage that he travels at the speed of thought, not the speed of light, the mm-hmm. speed of thought. So Lincoln could be, checking on the tours at the Ford Theater, and then all of a sudden think, wonder how my desk is doing. Jump, he's there.
Yeah.
And since time is relative, he could probably be at both places at the same time.
I totally agree with that. I believe it has to be, first of all, that if you have, I've got my grandmother's, actually my great-grandmother's library table in the entrance of my home. I know that when I see my grandmother, my great-grandmother, that it is not because it is a part of their soul is in that table. It is because it's very special to them and it's special to me. And so they're there because they're saying, hey, you know, this is really one special piece. And so I had one of the first individuals I had, you know, we're talking about attachments. One of the first individuals I had in contact with me when I first started was from South Columbia. And he was literally in tears and literally shaking because he was in such fear because he had been told that the photos of the individual that had transitioned, that he needed to burn those because he needed to get rid of those because a part of that individual was in those photos. And I asked him, my question to him was, I said, did you love this individual? And he said, very, very much. And I said, is that the reason why you have those photos? And he said, yes. And I said, so when you look at the photos, you feel their presence. And he said, yes. And that's what scares me because I've been told it's because I'm keeping the photos. I said, no. I said, you're letting your fear guide you. And I said, they're there because you're thinking of them in the photos. I said, you don't need to burn the photos. They're not a part of their soul isn't in the photo. And so I guess it was 6 months later, I got a follow-up from him, and he said he actually not only did not burn the photos, but he took one and framed it and has it in above his mantle in his home. And he said, I feel much more calmer now. And, you know, so I think a lot of times our fear base creates these things that makes us think that, you know, if we have a piece of furniture that is from someone that is transitioned, that we automatically have the place is haunted because we have that piece of furniture in there. It's not necessarily. You might get an antique, you might go to a store and get an antique place, and you may put it in your home, and things might be happening around that antique piece. And it's only because that individual, to me, is saying, okay, you got something that was special to me. I want you to make sure it's special to you.
And plus, you've got all the Hollywood concept of saying, you know, if there's a spirit that shows up visiting, that they're somehow malevolent. And I'm like, no, not really. Mm-hmm. Not everything's a Horcrux.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, I will share that I'm not saying there's no negative energies around. There are negative energies on this earth, and you know, individuals. I call them negative energies. They've been defined as demonic. They've been defined as, you know, and I don't give them that power. It's like, I'm not going to give them that power. So I'm just going to say what they are in their negative energies. They are around, they're around, but again, you don't have to deal with those. You should know that you have more power and you have more control. You have a creator more powerful than anything. So you really don't have to deal with those in your life. I've been to many residences that have feel that they've had negative energies in their home. And they have had negative energies in their home. But when I start talking to the individuals and ask them what the environment is in that home, there's negative emotions coming from the individuals. They're arguing. They're not treating each other well. And that is manifesting the negative energies because they don't want us to live life. They don't want us to love life. They want us to feel like this is all there is in life. And so by just being in control of it and knowing that you had that control, even with it, you know, I when people ask me, if we go back to attachments, when people ask me about attachments, it's like, well, you know, I'm the only one put on this belt today, so I guess I'm the only one that's in this belt. I'm not attached to anything, so.
Well, I like to think that people, live people can haunt houses too. Yeah, and you do that through your thought and your energy, so that if you the living can, you know, can move out, and they were absolutely miserable. And I really think that that does somehow get imprinted in houses. And all you have to do is walk in, and you can negatively haunt a house, but you could positively haunt one too.
I totally agree. I've been to residences where they've invited me to come in, and you're exactly right, Barb. I've come in, and immediately when I come in, I just feel like, okay, what are you all doing here? How are you living your life? Are you waking up positive in the morning? Is there a lot of arguing going on? And once I start talking with individuals, I see where there's a lot of stress or a lot of, and then I've been in, like you shared, I've been in homes where they're having issues. And when we find out who lived there before, it may go back many, many years, but that energy is somehow remained there in some way. I think it has a lot to do with the negative energies as well.
That'd be nice. And I think that positive thought can work for negative hauntings like that. You know, if you just fill it full of a lot of laughter and watch a lot of comedies and just keep it very light, that will change the atmosphere around things.
Well, one of the things I share in life coaching is, one of the steps I share is, when you wake up in the morning, begin by thinking of seven great positive things in your life and focus on those first. And before you even get out of bed, just focus on seven blessings, seven positive things that you have in your life at that moment. And then begin by being positive, because I feel like if you express positive, you believe in positive, you speak positive, you'll receive positive throughout your day. And by doing that, you will change those days. So it's the same thing what we're talking about. If you're in a home right now that feels negative, if you moved into a home that feels negative, doesn't feel right, you feel like it could be haunted, try maybe changing your attitude a little bit, being a little more positive in the home, and see what happens.
I'll say, let's go back a little bit to the life coaching thing, because it's interesting to me, and especially with talking with Jeff, that you mentioned just speaking about what it is that you want causes action. And you know, everybody I guess it was The Secret or whatever thing that was, where you try to positively manifest, and it always seems to be that just speaking the action doesn't always work. Is there that psychic kick in the butt you need?
Well, that's really good, Barb. And first of all, my life coaching, I always say, you know, I'll give you the tools and I'll give you the direction, but don't expect you to just lay on the couch and just lay there and speak out things and it'll happen. You got to put action with your words. And so, and part of it is by speaking it, you bring something, you bring some element, you bring some energy into you. It builds your confidence when you speak it as well. And that gives you the motivation to begin the action steps to make it happen. You know, that individual I shared about Abu Dhabi, going to Abu Dhabi, she put it out there, but then she took the action steps by submitting her resume, by going to the interview, and then being accepted. So if she had just said, put it out there and did not do nothing else, then she's not helping to manifest the reaction by not doing an action. So it's very important. To me, the key is the energy by putting it out there. But at the same time, what that energy is doing is it's elevating your confidence. And with many individuals today, and that's why we actually have a drug problem in this world, in this country, is because our confidence level is very, very low. Our fear base is very, very high. We don't have the confidence in ourselves to believe that we can do and be whatever we want. We can do and believe and do some amazing things in our life. But by speaking it out, it raises that confidence level. So the first key is not just speaking it out, and you're exactly right. You can't speak it and then spend the rest of the day on your couch and expect everything to come into your door. You've got to speak it, and then you've got to start taking the action steps and the direction to make it happen. I'm one of those that shares. We all have a purpose in life. Everyone has a different purpose and may have a different purpose in life, but we all have a purpose in life. It'll be at different times in our life when we actually find it. I found mine 18 years ago. But we all have a purpose here on this life. And by taking the actions and the directions and the manifestations and the tools to make it happen, you can make it happen. There are eight elements, actually. There's eight elements in life that we focus on in life coaching. And just a few of those is the career. They're all part of your life. The career element, the financial element, the health element, the relationship element. One of the biggest keys, I feel, is the spiritual element. But by getting those all elevated and getting them balanced in your life, then really things really start happening. And that's what we do. That's what we do in life coaching. And, you know, sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we get to a place and we think everything's going great. And all of a sudden we hit a stuck place. And when we get stuck there, so a lot of times our confidence starts draining within ourselves and we start feeling like we failed. And we didn't fail. You know, the key is to build, keep that confidence where you can become unstuck and continue to move forward. There's many ways that individuals can change their life here. But the first step is having the confidence, and I call it humble confidence. You can't be egotistical. Just have the humble confidence of knowing that you can and you will, and it will happen.
That's just like wishing, you know. Boy, I wished I could win the lottery. Well, if you sit on the couch and don't go buy a ticket, you have no chance.
That's exactly right. And Jeff's going to go buy a ticket because I'm going to get a million of it.
Exactly.
Hey, I'll fly out of there. Give it to you. I was going to say, though, is that, and I'm sure being a friend of Marla's, you probably heard this before, but one of my first metaphysics teachers pointed out regarding magic and, you know, both witches and neo-paganism, is that what magic is affecting the universe in a manner that can't be measured by science yet. Which is why, essentially, we like to point out that Christians probably do more magic than anyone else, because all they do is they go to church, they put a dollar in a tin as an offering, and then they light a candle and they pray to deity, and that's essentially doing a magic spell, asking for something, whatever that happens to be, and if it takes place, the spell worked. If it didn't, the spell didn't work.
And that's a great concept of what you just shared of again, even in religion, we put it out there. And making the magic work, basically, by like you said, lighting a candle, giving a tithe. You know, if it's shared that if you give 10% of your tithe, you're going to be rewarded seven times. So, and it, you know, all this we're talking about as far as putting it out there and speaking it out there, it has been going on since the beginning of time. It's nothing new. And it's just that a lot of individuals forget that they do have that opportunity. They do have the opportunity to change their lives and be confident within themselves.
So what do you think the biggest stumbling block for most people is? Is it the uncertainty, the no confidence, or is it possibly the fear of actually succeeding?
It's fear. It is fear. I mean, society is a fear-based. I mean, I share that, you know, I do not get up in the morning. Many people do get up in the morning. The first thing they do is turn on the news and look at all the things that's going on in the world. I'm not being separated from the world. I just choose not to bring that negative into me, because when you begin your day with seeing things that's happening in the world, and you know, and then let's face it, the negative news sells. So that's what's going to be on the news. But you put out, you know, and it's putting it out there. It's fear. We're afraid that the young adults today, they're afraid they're going to fail. They're afraid that whatever, you know, society has told them they have to be this level of success if you don't reach this level of success, you are a failure. And so they automatically feel the failure before they even begin. So it's fear. It is fear. It is fear-based. And because of fear-based, I could keep saying this, but we begin lowering our confidence in ourselves. And that's what the biggest problem is the fear that we're going to fail. It's the fear that we're going to, you know, what ifs. I talk about this in a video I did. We talk about the fear of what ifs. What if this happens? Well, why if this happens to me? Or, you know, what if this happens? And that keeps us from actually going forward because we're afraid of what we feel might happen.
Now, I want to remind everybody that you are listening to the Paranormal View here on the Parax Radio Network, and our guest is Rick Hayes. And the reason I'm doing that is we're having such a good discussion, I'm not going to take another break. So at least I put that out there because we're down to like just a little over half an hour left.
Wow.
And it's going by real fast. And it's great topics. So, Barbara?
Well, yeah, I talk a little bit about psychic development, for example. I think that's probably a really good way to start this. And a lot of people are afraid of it. I don't know why, but they are. To develop that sort of intuition to be able to help people. I mean, obviously, Hollywood hasn't helped with, you know, if you use a Ouija board, this is going to happen. If you talk to spirits, this is going to happen. You know, it kind of puts a dim light on things. How do you combat that stereotype?
Well, actually, part of my life coaching workshop, about the final hour, we focus on these spiritual abilities of each individual, and we define them, and we actually do some exercises to help them evolve them and help them to understand them and help them get connected to them. And again, in that workshop, I share that we are all given these abilities. We're all born with them, but as we're growing up, we're told it's imagination, we're told it's coincidence, and next thing you know, we're blocking them from our life because we are told to be afraid of them. And so, or they're not real. And so we have something within ourselves we don't utilize. And so what you do is you begin, and when I do the advisement consultation, we go back to lowering the fear. You can't totally eliminate the fear. In time you will, but you lower the fear, elevate the confidence in getting an understanding of what you have, what type of ability you have. You may be, for example, you may find you have psychic abilities. And then as time goes, you may find that you also have an empath ability or a healing ability or something like that. So once you begin to find the core of your ability, then and work with that, then you begin to see if you have other abilities as well. For me growing up, I've always recognized those in the next part of life, which is called mediumship abilities. I've always had that. And then as time went on in my life, I realized the psychic abilities was a part of what I had, what I was given as well. And so then as time went on from that, I started recognizing other little segments of what I've been given, and I started utilizing those. And one of those is life coaching, I found. And it's been, you know, it's been a part of my life the last several years. So, we all recognize that we all have these abilities in some way. And then the next step is finding what the core of your ability is, if it's a mediumship, if it's a psychic, if it's an empath, if it's a sensitive, if it's healing touch, then you find that, and then you start evolving with that and working with that. Because when you begin working with it, you get more confident with it, And with confidence, you start building it and growing it even stronger. So, and then you just acknowledge that it is a part of your life and it's okay. But by doing all those, then the fear starts becoming less and less. I've shared with everybody for many years. Growing up and all my life, I've never been afraid of my abilities. I've never been afraid of the next part of life. I've never been afraid of what they quote as ghosts. But if you put a snake in front of me, I'll be out of here in a second and a half, because me and snakes don't get along. But and I go back to that when I teach that. The reason I'm afraid of snakes is because I have a fear base of snakes. But I know if I begin understanding more about a snake, which, you know, I should, more about a snake, about which is poisonous, which is not, you know, actually touching one and holding one, then my fear would probably become less and less. But right now at this time in my life, I have yet to choose to do so. So, but I know that's a fear that I can overcome if I choose to do so. Just like with abilities, if you're seeing individuals in your home, or if you're hearing you're hearing voices that are saying your name or something like that, or you actually feel a presence, then the first step you're going to do immediately is you're going to be afraid, because that's just what's going to happen. But then once you begin a better understanding of who it is, why they're there, what they're doing there, what they're trying to relay to you, then the fear becomes less and less.
Do you think it's easier for...
Showing you a photo.
Do you think it's easier for children to express these abilities if they, well, obviously if they're encouraged and told that it's not to, but do you think that children with abilities have a tougher time coping than somebody who's developed, say, this ability later on in life?
Well, again, it's actually easier for younger children when they're young, because we're born with these abilities. And they have yet to be told that it's a coincidence, imagination, be afraid of it. So they just accept it. You know, I always like to share that when I was a little kid, I'd be in my bedroom and mom would be saying, oh, Ricky's in there playing with his imaginary friends. And I wanted to run out of that bedroom saying, they're not imaginary, but they were here, you know. But I just accepted they were there. And just the same with the young children. They just accept what's there. And so, but as they grow older, they begin being told that, you know, oh, you shouldn't, you know, we might have to take you and get you some medication for that, or you know, we got a problem with little Johnny here. So then they begins building the fear within themselves, because they feel like they're not normal. And so that's what happens. And I've had those individuals who have been exactly that way, but they, once they begin understanding that it was okay, that they were given something that they can choose to utilize in their life if they choose to do so, then they become more and more confident and less fearful about it. But yes, little children, and I always share, if you got a young child in your home, or if you've got a pet in your home, pay attention to the little children and the pets, because they see, they hear, they accept, and they will share with you when loved ones are around.
Well, I often wonder about, you know, that little child in the Sixth Sense movie, because it seemed that some of those spirits he was talking to had no boundaries and did not respect the child per se, or couldn't respect the child per se. And I'm wondering if you come across have you come across spirits that just simply don't respect your boundary levels?
Well, no, because I choose not to. But first of all, that movie was a great movie. And I remember when it first came out, my children said, Dad, we're going to take you to this movie. And I said, okay. And they said, we're not going to tell you anything about it. I said, fine. So we went, we sat in there, and just a few minutes, well, it was after Bruce Willis got shot, and then they showed the next scene. And I looked over at my son, and I said, he's in the next part of life. He's in spirit. And my son looked over at my daughters, and he said, he already knows. So, but yeah, I, you know, that movie was a great film. You know, it was, but at the same time, it was enhanced, based on what I've seen, it was enhanced because it sold the tickets. You know, I don't see, for example, I don't see an individual walk, you know, that comes by me with half their head blown off from a shotgun. You know, again, that all happened in the physical body. So now I will say this, if I do, and I do one or two a month, if I do, and I don't publicize them, but I do, I usually have one or two a month missing persons, cold cases. I work with the police force and different police departments. And the first thing I always share with everyone, you listen to the experts in their field. In this case, you listen to the law enforcement. They're the experts. But when I do those, and I'm given the picture of an individual, and I will start, they will start giving me the visuals of what happened, how it happened, where did it happen on their body, and they start showing me these things. But I never had a spirit walk by me with, you know, half a head or anything like that, because that's a physical body. So I've never had any individuals that gets in my boundary. I've had those that'll show up, you know, they'll all of a sudden they're right there, but immediately I know there's a reason why they're right there. There's a reason for that at that moment. But as soon as I acknowledge them, and as soon as I relay what message you want me to give, or what message you're trying to give me, once that is done, I say, okay, I respect you. You respect me. You can go now. And so then they immediately leave my boundaries.
At least they're not doing Patrick Swayze singing Henry VIII to Whoopi Goldberg all night long.
Yeah, that's another great film, and that's where I always share. You know, I'm not Whoopi Goldberg. Patrick Swayze's not going in my body or anything like that. So don't expect that. So,
so now, what about very well-known hauntings like Anne Boleyn walking through the halls of the Tower of London without her head?
Well, I think what that is our sight. It is what we're visually seeing. I really feel like she has her head. I feel like what she's doing there, I don't know that story, but there may be a reason why that they are seeing just that part of the body. That is a full body apparition they're seeing without a head, basically. But I feel like there's always a reason why. It's not that she doesn't have, first of all, we don't have a physical body in the next part of life. So, you know, and people have asked me, they said, what's her body over there? And I see them in different ways. One of the most common ways is I see them in an elongated light, very bright and colorful in the center. And actually, there was a film that came out a couple of years ago. And when I saw the DVD and saw the on DVD and saw the film, I literally jumped up off the couch when this scene. Because in that scene, the movie was called The Shack, and it was an incredible film. And these three main characters were standing with the other main character up on the hill, and they look down this valley, and all they see are these elongated, colorful lights. And the individual asked the other three, what is that down there? And they told him. And when I saw that scene, I literally jumped up, and I said, finally, movies has got something I can share with people that's very, very close to what I've been seeing all my life. Not exactly, but it's very, very close. But even with that, with an elongated light, I've seen those who would be walking towards me, and it don't even look like they have their feet, you know, their legs. They just look like the upper half. We was actually at the Waverly, and I was up on the top floor, and Henry, I think you were there.
Yes.
And we were on the top floor, and we were in one area of the top floor, and there was a group with a ghost box in the other area, out on the roof, actually. And one of the individuals came up to us and said, Rick, can you come out with us? Because our ghost box keeps saying, where's Rick? Where's Rick? So we went out there, and we started approaching the group. All of a sudden, the ghost box says, here's Rick. But while we was out there on the roof, yeah. I didn't realize it, but I looked over the side, and there was this group of spirits over there. So I walked over there, and I was standing there, and the ones with the ghost box was standing maybe 25 feet from me, and they was watching me, and I was sharing the messages. And that one of the guys had the night vision goggles, and they said he looked at me, and when he looked at me, he dropped the goggles on the roof floor. And another guy picked them up, and he said, what's wrong? And he said, look at Rick. And they said that when they looked in the goggles, standing right next to me was the head of a woman. Or no, she was actually in front of me. The head of the woman was in front of me. It looked like her head was on me. Huh. And I said, no, I didn't have the woman's head on me. I said, what you saw was she was in front of me, but you only saw the head. You didn't see the rest of the body, but the whole body was there. So it has a lot to do with what we see. And sometimes they show us that to give us, was she beheaded or anything, Jeff, in that tower? Or what's the story behind that?
Yes, Anne Boleyn was beheaded.
Yeah, she was one of Henry VIII's wives.
Okay, so she was simply saying, during my time here, I lost my head. So
that brings a question. So how do you see them as lights? Do they show you memories? Is that how you communicate?
Yeah, the first step is I'll feel them, and then most of the times, then I see them. I not just see them in a light, but sometimes I'll see what I call shadow form. I will see full body apparitions sometimes. Most of the times I get full body apparitions if I'm in historical locations or something in a place like that. It makes sense to me because what they're doing is all they're doing is helping me to understand. So when I'm in a historical location in a place I've never been before, they will come to me in a full body apparition a lot of time because they want me to see maybe the time period they were there. They may want me to see, what they were when they were there. For example, if I'm in a prison, either an inmate or an officer, they will show me, again, they're not in the physical body, but they're showing me the physical body when they were here at that time so that I can get a better understanding of what they are. But most of the times for me, if I'm in private consultation or something like that, they will show me, if I see them, it'll be an elongated light in different lengths and very colorful. And, you know, people have asked me, is that their body now? I don't know. We're all of energy, so it could be. But I know when I see that, they're helping me to know they're here. And then what they'll do is, Barb, then I can tell if they were a male or female. And then they begin sharing with me, like, if it's a family connection, they'll say mom or something like that, or dad, and they will help me, give me direction which way I need to go. And then they start giving me the validations of things that I wouldn't know, but to share with their loved ones, let them know that they're here.
So is it kind of like an aura color that you see, or are they just all bluish white light?
They're usually colorful. They're usually they're usually different. They may be colors. In fact, I can't even define the colors. It's beautiful colors. And sometimes it may be just white, like a real bright white in the center. Sometimes it may be a rainbow of different colors within that's glowing within. And again, it could be as small as I've seen, they come in different lengths. I had two or three consultations yesterday. And each one, when their loved ones came through, there was one that was, I saw a good 5-6 foot long. And then there was another consultation where they was sitting right next to her. And it was just like, maybe I just saw a little light, like 3 inches. And it's not an orb because they're not round. It's more like a cone shape for me. So it's narrow at the top, and then it starts to taper out wide, and then it starts to narrow down again.
Okay, well, so since you brought it up, orbs.
Okay.
Orbs. What's your take on them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be jumped on.
Well, and again, what's great in this industry is the investigators, the paranormal investigators. I mean, with all the equipment, I mean, Bill Chappell's a friend of mine, and he's created a lot of good equipment, but I mean, the equipment and the paranormal investigators, the ones that are doing these things, doing it right, they are really helping to open up doors, and they're really helping individuals to be more open-minded about things. And so I want to commend tonight on radio that if you're a paranormal investigator, thank you for doing what you're doing, because you make it much, you help us, you help those like us. So, but again, you got to use logic. I always share, you got to use logic, but don't forget your life after logic. In this case, an orb, if you got pictures of an orb, I've had individuals send me pictures, and they'll say, who is this in this picture? There's an orb there. And it's like, well, I think that's a moth, you know, so, or I think it's a dust. And so, you know, but there's been times where I've seen orbs where it is a spiritual one. So, but it all depends on, I don't see orbs as much as I see the elongated lights. And I normally don't talk about this, but for me, when I see an orb, it's usually not the orbs we see on photos, but I'll see a round shaped orb, but then it starts manifesting, it starts creating, and it starts spreading out. And that's how I see angels. That's how I see celestial angels. They'll start forming themselves, and they don't have wings, but the way that comes out, it does look wing-like. But I, you know, orbs, you got to use logic. When you get an orb, capture an orb on film, use logic. But if there's nothing there that can explain it, then don't say, well, that was a coincidence. I also recommend, I think investigators do this too, I also recommend if you capture an orb, take two or three pictures. Don't just take one picture of an area. Immediately take two or three pictures in succession and just look at the differences.
Well, that's a very good point you brought up about an orb and then it sort of spills out and manifests elsewhere. Do you think that what is actually happening is they're finding a small little tear and just like water pours through that area? Or energy pours through?
Well, are you talking something like
a
portal?
Well, or however it is they manifest, it's sort of like, you know, water coming through a keyhole, and, you know, it just sort of manifests out that way.
You know, Barbara, I never thought of it that way, but that's a very good way of actually looking at that. Is like they begin by expressing they're here as an orb, but then they start, you know, elevating out or branching out, and they start showing me more and more that it's actually a celestial. I call them celestial beings, but they're also known as angels. But that is very good. And as far as portals, I know there's individuals in this industry that feels that there's got to be doorways or pathways or places that these people in the next part of life have to go through. And I don't know about that exactly. It's kind of hard for me to think, you know, if I'm on the other side, I'm like, well, I want to go see my loved ones, but I got to go find this door first to go through, you know? So I just think you're there. I think a lot of times when we think an area is a portal, it is maybe an area where a lot of times activity is going a lot, and they're there for some reason. But again, if we have to go through a door to come on this side to talk with our loved ones, then I'll find out when I transcend.
Yeah, true.
I just hope I have the key.
Yeah, we're running down pretty fast.
Wow.
Can you pick up on other things, such as maybe an alien or a spirit of an alien?
Well, I have been asked the question, do I feel there are life in other parts of the universe and aliens? And I do. I it's hard for me to comprehend why we would be special and be placed in here in the spirit into the body and put on earth and say this is the only place that we're going to be. I do feel like that spirit is exactly that. It is a spirit, and it can be in any body or any vessel to learn life here. So can it be in other areas? I've been asked if I was alien actually several times. So, but I do, first of all, I do believe there's aliens, and, you know, other individuals living in a different, in their life, that are in spirit as well. Have I been in personal contact with an alien? I don't think so. I'll just say I don't think so. I don't believe I have yet.
Wow. Well, we've got just about 10 minutes, 11 minutes. And Jeff, did you have something, or are you still with us?
Actually, yeah, I'm still here, and I'm hoping I'm still, yeah, I am. When you were discussing, obviously, I was raised in a religion called Christian Science, which is a Protestant religion, and one of the tenets is that matter is an illusion, essentially, and that we are on a higher plane of existence, but our perceptions are that in this particular mortal realm at that time, which blew me away when I saw Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, where Yoda points out that we are luminous beings, not crude matter. And of course, Force ghosts and all that demonstrate that, you know, people who are really Force sensitive can communicate through that particular aspect of that universe. So whenever I hear, you know, well, the ghost looked like it was glowing, I'm like, well, yeah, that's just the energy that apparitions put out. They have to gather up the energy from the mortal realm to become visual on our perspective levels.
And with that, I love what you just said, because it's like if it was, we would probably glow if it wasn't for the body itself, the matter itself. You know, you hear about auras, you hear about, you know, the auras around an individual. That's the translucent, the spirit of the light, you know, and that's I think it's emanating. Someone said once that, I forget who said it, we're not a body and a spirit. We're not a spirit in a body. We're in a body and a spirit. And with that, you know, we do glow. We do have an aura around us, and I do feel like it is from the light of the spirit itself.
Well, there's brilliant photography.
Years ago.
That kind of proves the electrical pattern that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, years ago, I took a series of life trainings, difficult to explain without doing a truncated version of it, but one of the aspects of it is when it concludes, you're almost at a real natural high, as it were. And after, I mean, we're encouraged, once we've completed these trainings, to stay involved with the organization, and we did that. I even staffed a few of the trainings in later years. And I thought it was really cool that one time I went to one of the celebratory conclusions of one of the basic workshops, which literally ran for 5 days. They've since knocked that down a lot, and I don't even know if that group is still around. When I went in and everyone was dancing and being very happy, I came across this young blonde girl who was so naturally, she had had such a positive experience that she was literally glowing. I mean, yeah, she was smiling ear to ear, but I was sitting there like, I'm actually seeing a glow. And I asked her, I say, you know, I want you to meet somebody. I brought somebody over and say, what do you see? And a friend of mine who's about as psychic as me, which is meh, he was like, oh my God, is it me or is she glowing? I'm like, she's glowing. That's how high up she was from this workshop. And I've never seen that happy or high, naturally high, that they were, you could literally say they were, it was just amazing.
Yeah, and if you think about that, what you just said, Jeff, it makes, if you think about this, when someone is expressing positive and feeling happy, it is almost like it elevates the glow of your spirit, and you just feel the glow. You've heard many times, that person is so happy, just always so happy, and when you're around them, you just feel a glow around them, and, you know, just because how happy they are. Well, that has a lot to do with the energy you're manifesting from the spirit itself. And because your spirit is always share. We're born here to be happy. We're born here to be happy in life. We're not born here to be miserable in life. We're born here to be happy in life, because that's how our soul is. That's how our soul and our spirit is when we become into the body of the physical body. So, you know, with that lady you just mentioned, she was expressing her energy of within her own spirit of how being happy, and that then it was actually you could actually see it, the glow itself. So, very good.
Wow. We got 6 minutes.
I want to let everybody know that next week we have Thomas Wertman and Joe Merrill.
I've heard of Thomas Wertman, haven't I? Sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar, like about once a month, seems like.
Just about.
But they're going to be talking about abductees and the, I guess it's with a sense of smell that they're going to be talking about. Like a lot of people's reported being able to smell or the, I guess after they've come back, and they're now associating that with actual abductees. So we'll be talking about that. And of course, Thomas Wertman is the MUFON director of Ohio. So that'll be good. He's always good. So, Barbara, you guys got one last thing before I let.
Well, we can give one last plea for the lottery numbers, Rick.
let's do this. Let's all pick a number.
Well, hey, if you can't give us the numbers, can psychics predict whether or not somebody will win?
There's some out there that says they can because they want to get the spotlight on themselves.
Can't trick.
And that's the other thing. I always share this, and this is just me. People say, when are you going to get on television again and everything? I'm going to share this. Because we get constant, what I call opportunities. They want us to send a scissor reel. They want me to send a video. It's constant. And I always share with everyone that we're not, when I publicize is when the contract is signed and we have everything signed and everything put together, that's when we'll announce that I'm going to be on television, because I'm not going to say I'm working on this. And then Jeff, you're in the film industry. I mean, you could be told that you need it tomorrow, but then 3 years from now, you're still waiting on for their call. So I usually just tell everybody when you hear from Rick Hayes that he's on television or he's doing a film, you'll know the contract's signed and everything's going forward. So, but as far as lottery, I can't say that I can't speak that and say that a psychic can't predict that, because each individual is has their own abilities. I look at it this way: if you are meant in your life to win the lottery, then you will win the lottery. And that, that's the way I look at it. If Rick Hayes is supposed to win the lottery, then I'll get a ticket and I'll win the lottery. But if it's not to be, if it's not a part of my learning experience here, then I won't win the lottery. So, I'm just going to throw out there. I'm going to say 24. Let's see if 24 is a number in the lottery this time.
Cool.
That's good. 17.
17.
Yep. There you go. All right. Rick, we got like 2 minutes. And of course, we all want to thank you for being with us tonight. Great show. We always love having you come on.
I always love coming.
It's just been a long time since we've had you on.
Well, I was on last year, right? I was trying to think of the last time I was here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll see about getting you. I'll let you know exact date that we're going to have for our 10th year anniversary. And we'll see if you are able to come on and chat for a minute. But I want you to give out all your information where people can follow you, get a hold of you, and see what all is going on with Rick Hayes.
Well, the website is lifesgift.com. You go to the website. I'm on Facebook. You can Facebook friend me. If you're not my friend, we're friends now, so friend me. I write something on there. Actually, I write them a night or two before, but they're posted every morning, almost every morning. You can find out what's going on my fan page on Facebook and then personal page as well. I'm honored to be a part of the mobile app I talked about earlier. It's called the PDA, capital P, capital D, capital A. And, it's an app that's been developed for life coaches, for spiritual counselors, consultants. I was honored to be accepted to be a part of it. It's a large mobile app, and it's all free. So you get a lot of information on there. If you get on there, they'll favorite me, make me your favorite on there. So, and then I'm just everywhere. We got a lot of plans for next year. We got a lot of great things coming up next year as far as events and as far as appearances. So we'll be posting that probably toward the end of the year, first next year or so about those. So, and it's been a real pleasure to be with you all, my friends. I mean, you all just keep doing what you're doing, because being on the radio for 10 years, you're changing people's lives as well.
Appreciate that. We want you to stay on for a few minutes after we get off.
Okay. And I always have to end it with this: believe.
That's it. Believe. And I believe that it's time. So see everybody next week at the same time. So good night, everybody.